cast of the Neil Haley Show and the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. I'm excited to welcome the program Nobel Prize nominated doctor, best-selling author and emergency room physician, Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, thank you for your service. And we have an amazing guest, don't we?
Wow. You know what? We have a very amazing guest. I mean, this is incredible. You know, it's my honor, really, you know, introduce, you know, the former U.S. Air Force colonel, astronaut, chemist, and engineer, and a veteran resident of the International Space Center, Dr. Katie Coleman. Welcome to the show, Dr. Coleman.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored to be talking with you guys. And together, this is really amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. And he has amazing questions, and I have some fun ones as well. Go ahead, Chris, with your first question.
Well, no problem at all. You know, I mean, it's such a small amount of people ever been in the space. I think that number is right around 600 out of 8 billion people. So, you know what, Katie, tell us a little bit about space and tell us a little bit about the longest goodbye.
Well, the longest goodbye is a movie that, you know, NASA, it's a movie that, It's different than anything I think you've ever seen. And it's because I think all of us can tell stories in different ways. And it's not so traditional for NASA to tell them in such a personal way. And they worked with a director, Ido Mizrahi, who asked me questions nobody had ever asked me before. And I realized that I thought the answers were important and stories that could be told. And so I trusted Ido, and I'm just one part of the movie. Also interviews Kayla Barron in this movie, another astronaut, as well as some other astronauts, but also like scientists and engineers who are coming up with cool tools for what happens when we go to Mars. And every back and forth conversation, it takes, you know, at least 20 minutes, if not more than an hour.
Well, you know, and it's amazing for people that don't, you know, everyone's into the AI thing. They don't understand the space thing is coming, right? We're soon going to be an interplanetary species. We're no longer just going to be on Earth. And you're the beginning process of this, right? And from explaining the whole thing in Mars, that we're getting there, right? We're getting closer.
It's definitely true. And all these little puzzle pieces have to be fit in before, you know, you have enough of a solution to say it's as safe as we can, you know, it's as safe as we can make it right now. Let's try to go. And the psychological piece is definitely one of them. And I mean, candidly, I think that we've been showing with the space program, we don't get to pick our teams. And it's not because people don't want us to, it's because you just don't have that luxury. And yet they pick people, all the different countries who, you know, we have the same mission, and that's really what brings us together. And it's astonishing to me what, you know, I mean, you can have six of us gathered under the cupola window looking down at the Earth, and every one of the six of us is going to see something different out of that window and be a different part of a solution to some issue we're working on the space station. So it's special stuff that we're doing. And I think people will be able to make it work to go to Mars. And at the same time, that doesn't mean we don't have to do our very best to come up with tools that will help people stay sane, so to speak.
Go ahead, Chris. Next question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. You know, as a doctor, you know, I deal with the mental challenges and those kind of things. And so, you know, that's a 3-year mission into Mars. I mean, how challenging would that be for a group of astronauts going to Mars?
I think it's challenging for the astronauts. I think it's challenging for the people that stay home, you know, people that can't help. And for the astronauts, one of the things I think from my personal point of view that's challenging is that, you know, there's certain things you can do to help at home. You know, I can make sure that my best girlfriend goes by with some, you know, takes my kids shopping to the place he really wants to go and not the store his dad wants to take him to, you know, I mean, it's funny things, but we have to let go. All of us, you know, the ones in space have to let go of not being able to do everything they'd like to help with on Earth and vice versa. So it's challenging. And yet it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to make the best situation that we can, which they're looking at solutions, everything from maybe we should just put everybody to sleep until they get there. It'll be a 6-month journey. Maybe we should, you know, have kind of avatars of our spouses. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I, you know, ask my spouse something or my girlfriend something, I actually know what they want to say. I just want them to say it to me. So maybe AI will come into play after all. So this movie explores those things, and it's a neat movie.
Wow. Avatars, the spouses, meaning that you guys will be able to communicate, but it's just interesting where it's going to be, because a lot of family members, and this is a great point you're making, and that a lot of family members out there just have to understand what their spouse's job is. And sometimes, and family doesn't get always understand it till it happens. Right, Katie? That's the biggest challenge, is that, yeah, I'm in on it. I'm in what your career is. I'm cool. Let's go. And then when it happens, sometimes that's not exactly the reaction.
You know, you're exactly right, because that, I think, is sort of the essence of this movie, is that, you know, we know we're going, we know what's going to happen. And what this movie shares, I mean, I actually shared our family videos from Sunday mornings. We'd have video conferences once a week. And it actually shares just what you spoke about, like when it really happens, it happens. And then there's just all these kind of little parts of that are hard that you have to deal with. It doesn't mean you're going to be overcome, you know, and they can't cope. You know, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'm expressing that I'm really sad not to be there because I need to say it. Sometimes I'm saying that because I know they need to hear it. And, you know, and so, I don't know, we all just have to figure our way around that. Actually, I think, you know, from COVID, I think a lot of people understand more about how can we really have a relationship, even if we don't get to be close and don't get to communicate as much as we want. And my husband and I have had a commuting family our whole entire 26 years. Well, we did it for 26 years. Now, since COVID, we've been together. But it's, you know, it just shows you what people can really do when they're challenged.
All right. Go ahead, Chris. Next question.
True. No problem at all. So, and you know, your ideas and hard work actually, you know, went into a lot of the building of the International Space Center. So tell us, what was that like? And actually living there on the International Space Center, what was that like?
Well, to me, being like, my first mission was a space shuttle mission, 16 days, all these experiments. I'm originally a chemist. And so being up there, figuring out, you know, how are we going to do these experiments? How are the scientists going to get their results without killing each other? Because they all want to see the bandwidth at the same time. You know, I mean, so how are we going to do that stuff? And then a 5-day mission to deploy the Chandra X-ray Observatory, which everything literally that we know about black holes comes from that telescope. And so I just remember what it felt like landing from each of those missions, which was, why are we going home? We have so much really important work to do up on the space station to learn about science we can't do down here on Earth, but it benefits Earth. And also learning stuff about how to be better prepared and safer when we do send people, not just robots, to Mars. So when I got the call that I could go to the space station, of course, it was a big family decision and we really talked about it, but we decided this was really who Jamie's mom was. And now in the movie, you get to see the reality of that for me, for Kayla Barron, a Navy submariner who's up there, for other astronauts. And I think it's time that we told these stories so that people understand what we're facing for going to Mars.
All right. Well, fantastic. Chris, go ahead and summarize, Katie.
Oh, well, no problem. And this has been a great honor, you know, to have an astronaut, you know, a scientist, a former U.S. Colonel of the Air Force, speak with us today about this documentary and her life. And so we really thank you for coming on this morning, Katie. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. Storytelling and medicine are top on my list. My best friends are a pediatric surgeon who operated on our kid, and her wife, a pediatric surgeon. And they're actually, you know, they kind of hold together a whole bunch of us astronauts as friends.
Fantastic.
So thank you for what all awesome. Both of you do.
Thank you. And best place we can check out the movie, where can we go?
PBS. And also streaming on Amazon Prime and Apple TV, which is pretty wild for our family. It just came out this past week. And it's a little bit weird to see your face in so many places. And that's my eye in the movie poster. That's a really cool picture that a NASA guy took.
So from astronaut to rock star. Appreciate it, Katie. Thanks again. All right, take care. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's special simulcast, the Neil Haley Show and the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, guys. Take care.